Hi and welcome to the Animus Podcast number one, where today we'll be talking with Kevin Mascarenhas. Kevin, it's great to see you.
Nice to see you, Robert.
Last time we met was at the Mind Body Soul Expo at the Docklands.
That's right, yes.
How was that for you? How was that day?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, actually. It was a great opportunity to share with a wider audience why coaching, why this particular school, you know, what does it mean to me? What's been my experience?
Okay, so tell me a little bit about that, sort of what it means to you, what's your experience, where have you come from to sort of to get to this space?
Oh, okay, so I met Nick, I'd say early last year.
Okay.
On one of the discovery days. And I remember at that point feeling there's something here for me. The whole process of transformation is something that I'm working through myself, my personal journey, and also the possibility of integrating the frameworks that I work with as a designer, as a facilitator, meant that there was something here for me. So that's something I wanted to explore.
So tell me a little bit about that, the designer, facilitator, things that you do.
I come from an engineering background, engineering, computing and IT background.
Okay.
My professional career came to its climax in about 2009 when I was working for the investment banks doing computing and IT. But that really didn't feel like it was my calling. It didn't really feel like there was an ethical basis on which I could be more of what I want to be in the world. And that's when I went on a journey of discovery, started to reconnect with what was important to me.
Okay.
Did some yoga training. I did.
Okay.
I discovered permaculture, which is a design science designed to support man and the integration of man into our environment
in
sustainable ways. When I say man, I mean men and women.
Humankind. Okay. And so do you integrate, or how do you integrate that sort of permaculture way of working with your coaching?
Yeah, very much so. So permaculture has influenced what I do as a designer, facilitator, and a coach.
Okay.
In terms of coaching, the way I use it is that one of the skills that I have is the ability to read a landscape. And I bring that into my coaching.
Ah.
So as we journey through the story of my client, we look at the internal landscape, and I can actually see it as a journey that we navigate together, shoulder to shoulder. So for me, coaching is very much a collaborative journey of moving through a landscape where we look at what comes up on the horizon and work with that.
Beautiful.
So a journey of emergence, you might
say. Nice. Lovely. I love that. One of the things that I like to do with my clients in terms of narrative work is that the story kind of grows out and we can look at the story as a landscape in front of us.
Yeah.
So I find that really interesting that you're sort of talking about an internal landscape as well as the sort of the external landscape.
What's fascinating about that is on my travels, as part of what I was doing once I left the investment banking world, was I spent a lot of time with Aboriginal people in Northeast Arnhem Land.
Okay.
And I began to learn a lot about the culture, the Aboriginal culture. Integrated into their worldview and perspective is our song lines. And what they do is as they traverse the landscape, they sing it into being. It emerges out of the landscape as they move through it.
Nice.
And in many ways, that's what we're doing as coaches.
Yeah. And when you think of the work of, I think it's David White, Michael White even, when he talks about thickening the story. So as we speak the story and we bring more and more information into the story, it begins to thicken. So we build that narrative that we can then explore and work with.
Yeah.
Nice stuff.
When I hear that, I think of conduit, you know, like thicken the conduit. You sort of give gravity, you give meaning to that journey. And from there, you can craft what it could look like in the future as a support via coaching.
Lovely. So this makes me really curious as to how does the song lines and the permaculture, how does that show up in the work that you do with your clients?
So I describe myself as an ecosystem thinker, designer, and I bring that holistic perspective. The systemic way in which I work is to sort of map out what's going on. So the elements in the landscape, the elements of the story. I guess in many ways there's a corollary with narrative coaching.
Yeah, yeah.
So that I'm finding that has been an incredible foundation for the work that I'm going on to do. I'm working with senior leaders and organizational design, and I'm starting to see that I'm able to transfer my understanding of landscape, the actual physical landscape, into the organizational world.
Nice. Nice. This sounds really fascinating, and it's just making me go, so if I'm your client and I show up to work with you, what are the, is there like a start point or a framework that we sit within for this?
Yeah. Because of where I come from, because of who I am, I'm just drawn to variety, difference, context. So for me, it's more about the context in which you come with. So you might be a business owner, you might be a coach, you might be an entrepreneur, you might be a senior leader. They're the kind of people that I work with, or a creative too.
Okay.
And so what I start off with is an understanding of the context, and that very much applies as a designer too. So what I find is that my journey as a coach is about getting out of the way.
Yeah,
it's what I've done as a designer and as a facilitator. I started off being sort of very sort of brain focused, like how am I going to deliver this design? And more I've stepped out from that and stepped into a world of how do I hold and shape? How do I ask the right kind of engaging questions that facilitates the thinking of others so that they can be the masters of their own journey?
Nice, nice. I love that phrase of you know, getting out of the way to enable somebody to be the master of their journey, or to find their focus, their direction, without being, I suppose, influenced or led by us as the coach or the facilitator. So tell me a little bit more about your facilitation work.
So I've worked with groups all around the world. I've worked in the Svalbard Archipelago, the northernmost settlement on the planet.
Wow.
I've worked in the jungle in Belize and Guatemala with women farmers in a coffee cooperative. I've worked with...
So what were you doing with women farmers in a coffee cooperative?
Yeah, there it was more about learning about the mechanics of organic agriculture in that context. But what was fascinating was the context itself, the women, how empowered they were to make decisions for themselves, to support each other, to learn how to look after each other and their families. I mean, this is a place where young babies will be drinking Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Under the age of one.
Wow.
So they're going on a journey of discovery and of education, and they're empowered to do that through the work that they do on the land and the return, the financial returns that they bring. I've also worked in West Africa, in the Northwest Highlands, and there's a different context, but again, similar kind of struggles to how do I look after my family?
Yeah.
How do I grow the food that we need to support us as we go, to live?
Yeah.
You know, and sort of bringing in coaching into that environment, facilitation, it's been really fascinating. Mm. So, in that context, I designed a training. And when we walked the landscape, when we literally traversed the landscape of where they farm, I couldn't help but notice, how they manage the land.
Mm.
And I asked questions. I was curious. Who told you to, you know, like, and why has that hole been dug?
Yeah.
Because the head man told me to dig that hole. So at that point, I started to realize, okay, so we need to re-engage with senses here. So okay. I actually supported them on a learning journey of re-engaging with their senses, owning their own experience. And from that place, make better decisions and choices about how they manage the landscape.
So that sort of makes me think about exploring what's happening internally and its relationship with the external world in which they're working, and tuning into those two frequencies in order to make the choices that they need to make to survive on the land.
And in many ways, that's the art of coaching. can you create that connection between the tuning in to what's going on on a deeper level to how does that then express and manifest in the outside world?
So it makes me think about where do you take this? Where does this, because it's fascinating that you're working with all these different cultures in all these different places, and then you're bringing that back into how you're working.
Yeah.
I just wonder, where does that go to? Or where might that go to?
Yeah, so that was in the community context. And what I found more is my work has been drawn towards working with organizations and working at the individual level.
Okay.
And so I'm playing with this right now. So that's the beauty of transformational coaching, is that you have the breadth and the capacity to move and shape what you want to do and who you want to play with. So I've recently done some work with Animas coaches, actually, with a charity called the Wilderness Foundation.
Okay.
And I brought 15 transformational coaches from the school to work with young people at risk.
Okay.
And this was an engagement where there was a lot of unknowns. So, and that's the world that I work in. You know, it's like, how do I shape chaos in order to for something beautiful to emerge out of?
Okay.
And fascinatingly, it did. Something beautiful emerged out of it. And what I kept reminding the coaches was that you're in this unfamiliar setting. However, fall back on your training. Fall back on your training. Your coaching will take you forward and will help you shape the conversations that you're about to engage with young people that came with addictions, came with crippling kind of social, lack of social skills.
Yeah.
You know, really challenged.
So how did those young people respond to the sort of the coaches in their environment?
You know, so positively.
Okay.
It was such a great experience. We were so well looked after in that whole overall context by the charity themselves.
Yeah.
And then also then we could do our work. And the results were fantastic. You know, such a short amount of time that the young people got something out of it. And the response was somebody listened. Somebody took the time. You know, just the fact that their fresh face came in.
Okay.
You know, it changed how they behaved.
Nice.
You know, that was observed by the organization that invited us in.
Lovely, lovely.
And it's interesting that actually then plays out in all the other scenarios that I'm taking my work.
Okay, tell me a bit about that, because that feels like, is that the theme or the pattern that emerges from the work you do?
Yeah, I think it's very sort of human-led, you know, human-centered, which is something that comes out of the Animas coaching school.
Yeah,
you know, human-centered therapy, human-centered coaching. What I work with is human-centered design.
Okay.
So what I work with is putting people at the heart of the interactions or the engagements that I create or co-produce. You know, often it's with other people that I like to work, because that then, again, takes me out of the center of the equation. And sort of we build this collaboratively. It's a journey of emergence.
Lovely.
From the outset. So, for example, working with a senior leader. So I've recently done an engagement with a large corporation with a senior leader responsible for 1,000 people. And it's quite incredible how the macro reflects back to the micro. So some of her challenges as a business owner are also my challenges as a business owner.
Yeah.
And what
yeah.
I found was I could create a space, a safe container for her to speak into that space, and I could meet her there.
Nice, nice, nice. It reminds me of some of the stuff that Nick talks about, where, you know, each bit is a representation of everything else. How we show up in one space is how we show up in all the spaces, and how we can notice that, and we can match our challenges with our clients' challenges and notice how we're, but might be both struggling with the same thing.
It's interesting. Nick's done a great talk on the YouTube channel around the fractal nature of coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. That was in my mind. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And for me, that was a realization after seeing that talk. I started to realize, and that gives us the power as coaches to step into unfamiliar territory, unfamiliar situations, and sort of be that reflection, be that mirror,
yeah. Yeah.
Even though we haven't had that experience. Yeah. We can't match that experience of our clients.
For me, there's something really important about being okay with not having had the experience that our clients have had, because it gives us a freshness, it gives us a new perspective from which to ask questions to enable growth or awareness or realization to take place.
Yeah, I very much see that, you know, and I'm seeing that throughout the spheres that I'm working in. Again, like with senior leaders, because, you know, this is a place that there's a lot riding on. There's a lot of weight here, you know, in the room. What I'm connecting with is, if you can create that relational space where you can be, you create this spaciousness that they can then speak into.
Yeah.
Then what happens next is the tone softens.
Okay.
And then there's a rapport starts to develop and build. And then you can facilitate the other person as their creative thinking partner. That's really how I see
creative
myself.
Creative thinking partner. Yeah.
Sometimes it moves towards strategic.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's creative, and sometimes it's just a kind of an easing back, spaciousness.
So you're talking a lot there about that creating the space, that relational aspect, sort of that collaborative nature of what the work that we do as coaches tends to be around.
Yeah, which is co-created.
Yeah, nice. And so tell me a little bit more about that notion of relational. What does that mean for you?
Relatedness. How do you get into relation? How do you build that trust and rapport? Where does that come from? I think it starts with the work that we do on ourselves.
Okay.
How clear are we with ourselves?
Yeah.
Like, how much work have we done on ourselves? Have we been on a journey ourselves?
This is really interesting. I was talking to a coach recently who is training in coaching but was a therapist. And we were talking about this notion of how much work we do on ourselves informs our practice, and that continued work on self helps to inform and grow and deepen the work that we can do as coaches, and how some coaches don't quite notice that or don't quite do that work. And I suppose my very leading question here is, what do you think the importance is of doing that self-work?
For me, it's the depth and it's the craft that you can then bring to bear in any given situation. And that really brings me confidence.
Okay.
My craft of coaching, my craft of facilitation, my understanding of design thinking, when you can blend and mix those, then you can show up in the space and offer something of value that's needed in that moment. So it's never prescriptive and it's never one thing. These are journeys of emergence, like I was saying, the traversing of a landscape.
Nice. So that makes it feel like each journey, even if you're presenting, so if you're facilitating the same workshop, because it's about emergence and it's relational to who's in the space, each journey will be a different journey.
Very much so. Whether it's a workshop where you're doing group work, or whether it's on an individual basis, it differs.
Nice.
But then there's also something in there about, now how do you actually then step away, like we've spoken about before, but create the opportunity for relational spaces to occur within that?
Tell me some more about that.
So if you're coaching within a group context,
okay,
how do you then step away enough to create, to offer the possibility of them co-creating their own relational space?
Yep.
And that's something I've been doing with senior leaders through the work that I'm doing within the organizational design sphere.
That reminds me of, I don't know if I read this or somebody told me this, but this, the art of a great group coach or group facilitator is like a great referee, where nobody notices you in the space apart from a little bit of sorting or managing needs to take place, and then you kind of disappear into the background again.
Yeah, it's interesting. On a 2-day arc, how I noticed that how the energy was focused to the front of the room, to you. And what I often do is break that down as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Our old paradigm where you have a teacher at the front and the teacher does the download and you receive the download.
Yeah.
I break that down as quickly as I can.
Yeah.
And then I do a lot of work with circles. So where everybody sees everybody else in the room, and then you create the permission to engage in a different way, to explore thinking, but across the circle, and you kind of melt into the background, and it's amazing what can happen in 2 days.
Lovely, you know, that whole idea or notion of shared knowledge, and it, as a trainer, what I love is where I go. So who else knows about this, and what do you know, and what could you imagine that you might know, and how can you bring that into the space? So it's not just me telling you, it's us exploring and bringing in our own knowledge and information into whatever it is we're looking at.
One of my deep passions is participatory processes. So I work with Art of Hosting, and I'm conscious of like how do we draw out the intelligence in the room? How do we create the environment such that we can bring out the best thinking from all of the group together?
So, tell me about the Art of Hosting.
So Art of Hosting is a range of different practices that come together to facilitate group thinking.
Okay.
Usually starting from powerful questions. Okay. So again, it comes back to our art and our craft of coaching. So what's important as within the world of coaching? It's the art of asking powerful questions.
Yeah.
It's deep listening.
Yeah.
It's compassionate speech. It's those kind of ideas run through the threads of Art of Hosting.
Nice, nice. And so where would somebody find out about the Art of Hosting?
I can provide some links to that.
Okay.
There's a community. It's a global community.
Nice.
They offer trainings throughout the world. There was one done in London last year that I attended. There are a bunch of practices that you could pick up yourself and run with.
Mm.
So it's very much open source. And that's another part of what I'm very much engaged with, is the open source nature of how do we grow this and how do we integrate it into our culture.
Yeah.
Something I'm working with is regenerative culture.
Okay. Bit more.
So regenerative culture is sustainability not being enough. Sustainability is about just getting our needs met.
Mm.
But how can we as a culture move beyond that to how do we create environments such that we can grow and regenerate from the work that we do, so it's self-perpetuating.
Nice.
And builds out from there.
Nice.
And I think that coaching really has the tool set to support that emerging and happening. It's very much part of the regenerative culture that I am part of and hope to be part of in the future.
Lovely, lovely. Because that so makes me think about that notion of, as a coach, you work with your client, so they develop the skills, they don't need you.
Yeah.
So they can do this work themselves.
Yeah.
And that kind of ties into what you were saying there.
Yeah, I'm so passionate about that. It's the difference between therapy and between coaching. It seems to me that there's a world of dependence that's built up in the therapy industry. And whereas
in some of the therapy industry,
perhaps,
maybe.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's very sort of endemic or systemic within American ways of delivering that. But I feel that coaching is much more a tool of empowerment, of really sort of releasing and letting go, of unburdening yourself at the same time, so that you can go on to do even more of that. So that's that regenerative cycle.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, as you were saying that, I was thinking that, as in all industries, there's the great coaches and the not-so-great coaches, and there's the great therapists and the not-so-great therapists. Mm. And I kind of recognize that there are coaches who also develop a dependent relationship. And I'm always curious about what's going on when a practitioner creates that codependent relationship with the client, and what stops them from stepping back and allowing the client to grow and spread their wings and fly away.
Yeah, I would offer that comes from a place of fear and a lack, as opposed to a sense of abundance and where that can take you.
Yeah.
With this sense of abundance and possibility and opportunity, then what does that open up for you as a coach and also as a human being?
Mm.
You know, how can that impact what you do and how you serve your audience?
That's great. Brilliant. I think we've kind of spoken about loads of what you do and how you work. And I'm just wondering, is there anything that we sort of haven't covered that you'd like to share today?
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about dialogue, actually.
Okay.
So dialogue being something, bringing dialogue into that relational space.
Okay, so tell me, so dialogue, is this about questions or is this about conversation?
I see it as a fundamental integrated practice inside of the container of coaching.
Okay.
What do I mean by that?
Yeah.
So let's think about this. So dialogue, the word itself comes from dialogos, ancient Greek. And breaking that down, the word logos is word.
Mm-hmm.
Dia is about movement. So it's kind of like logos being word or the meaning of words. So it's about the movement of meaning of words.
Yeah.
So kind of like that flow that's created.
Yeah.
So in a dialogue, what we're doing is we're creating a flow.
Mm.
So it's quite a different way of engaging to the way that we used to engage in the 20th century way of doing things, which is more about conversation being about a download. You know, that sense that I'm going to wait until the other person stops speaking, and then I'm going to download what it is that I've got to say.
Yeah.
And I think that coaching gives us a practice where we slow down enough to really listen, to suspend our voice of judgment, and really sort of be available for the listening and for the learning of the meaning that the other person in front of us is bringing.
Lovely. And that sort of really reminds me of the work that Marcus does with the students in that presence weekend, which is all about the power of silence, the power of listening, that the quality of the listening space that you create that enables that flow of dialogue or communication to take place between client and coach.
Yeah, and it's almost like, as in meditation, it's that pause between the in-breath and the out-breath, that place of stillness, that delicious place of stillness. What's gonna happen next? What's gonna emerge? You know, what's going to crack open?
Which is very that kind of gestalt, fertile void feeling of, you know, once we've had our need met and there is that silence before the next sensation comes in.
Yeah.
What's there in that space to emerge, to come into the being?
Yeah, very much so. And I really can relate to that as on the receiving end of coaching in my own journey.
Beautiful.
That sort of like sense of, okay, now what is the possibility here? And really that's the journey. That's kind of like how I create a flow in my design interventions is like, what are the possibilities? How can we prototype these and what can emerge from that?
Lovely. So when I think about the work of David Drake, where he talks about experimentation within the coaching session.
Mm.
So that when you talk about prototype, and he talks about experimentation. How do we test this out before we take it into the world and see what it does out there?
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today. I'm just wondering, you know, where can we find you?
I'm the founder of my consultancy, Natural Flow Consultancy.
Cool.
I have a website related to that and getting my social media together more and more, focusing really on work with senior leaders and organizational design, but then all the way through down to business owners, entrepreneurs, supporting them on their journey as a startup. Particularly love working with coaches. I'm getting a lot of joy from supporting them in the unfolding of their expression through the work they do.
Brilliant. It's been an absolute pleasure, Kevin. Thank you so much for coming along. Cheers. Thank you.